Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here in the studio with me again today for the 21st time is Laverne Kreider. Can you believe that? We've had just a great joy to share with you the 21 tests of leadership over the last 21 weeks. And so today on the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast, we have the last of these 21 tests, and this has been a joy, the Kingdom Test. An effective leader focuses on the eternal kingdom. So if you're new to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast, we've been blessed to be doing this for 3 years, and we've been blessed to have more than 150 podcasts basically interviewing leaders from all over the world, all over the body of Christ, on what they've learned about leadership. And then more recently, we took this break to talk about the 21 tests of leadership. So we're going to talk about today a really important test, and the test of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom? Jesus said it like this. He said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. He said, I must do it, of course, here, but other cities also, because that's why I was sent. He was sent to proclaim the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes we think it's the gospel of the church, and we love the church. The church is important. We've been involved in the church forever. But it's really the gospel of the kingdom, which is greater than just the church.
Absolutely. And we need to continue to get a revelation of that in our hearts, that it is the gospel. He said, he goes, I come to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom.
Right. He said, I'll build my church, so we know that's important, but it's the gospel of the kingdom. And of course, the church is a vital part of the kingdom, but it's much greater than just the church or just the local church. He wants to understand what kingdom is really all about. So one way this affects some of us as followers of Jesus, and even sometimes pastors, is we don't give much thought to what others are doing, or other churches or other ministries are doing. We just focus on what we're doing. Even businesses, this applies to business. For kingdom people, we want to work with others to see the kingdom of God advance through our business, through our church, through our lives.
Because Jesus prayed, and he said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done.
Right.
And that's in our daily lives, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So what does it mean to be kingdom-minded? Well, let's start with the whole church side of it. I remember reading a few years back that a Catholic church in England gave money to finance a youth pastor in a Pentecostal church in their city because they needed a youth pastor. That's someone who understands the kingdom. The kingdom is greater than just what we're doing in our own family, in our own lives, in our own business, in our own church, or whatever. It's saying there is this kingdom. Jesus is the king, and we're all part of his kingdom, and we want to be people of the kingdom. That's a test. Are we focusing on the kingdom of God mostly, or just our own thing and just the thing that we're doing? Rick Warren one day said this. I thought it was so good. He said, it's not about us.
Yes, and we need greater revelation of the kingdom of God. And just absolutely, all these tests we've talked about in the last weeks, really this kingdom test, it's almost like this wraps it up. This is the bottom line.
I agree.
He is the king. We are surrendered to him. Mm-hmm. He is Lord, and he is a good father. He's at work in our lives. And in that place then, no matter what we go through, he's going to carry us through. You know, he's going to take us through any, no matter what tests we have. And just that a scripture we use so much in our lives over the years is Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. The Passion Translation says, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. And Jesus was once asked by the religious leaders, when will the kingdom of God come? When is God's kingdom coming? And amazing what Jesus said. This is, you can find in Luke 17 and verse 20. He just said, Jesus responded, God's kingdom does not come simply by obeying principles or waiting for signs. That kingdom is not discovered in one place or another, for God's kingdom realm is already expanding within some of you. And it's, he's saying, don't look for the kingdom here or there. The kingdom of God is within you. And that was such a new thing for them. And we can get so caught up in our own little worlds and not see the bigger picture, that the kingdom of God, Christ's rule, He lives within us. We said it over many, mm-hmm. many times here that Christ lives in us, that his kingdom is within us. Mm-hmm. And that just makes a difference how we look, how we walk through life, mm-hmm. how we relate to one another.
And, you know, we've all heard of the different mind motors, you know, kingdom mind motors, things that change, you know, change cities and nations. You know, we want to see kingdom business and we want to see kingdom education and on and on. And it's just honoring the king, Jesus, mm-hmm. and his kingdom. So, really, the bottom line is very simple. Are we building our kingdom mm-hmm. or are we building God's kingdom? And the church is an area of this that's really important because many times as pastors and leaders in the church realm, we just only focus on our kingdom. I remember years ago when we began to pray with the other pastors in our area and the walls started to come down. I mean, the walls were so high mm-hmm. between churches, you know, in our area, and the walls started to come down. And we realized, no, we're here to help one another. We're here to see God's kingdom advance, and God will bless us in the process. But really, it's his kingdom that really, really, really counts. Mm-hmm. So we don't care who gets the credit. As long as God is glorified. Mm-hmm. One of my heroes in the faith is John Wesley. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. When I was a young leader, you know, I read all the John Wesley stuff I could find. And I came across a story about John Wesley that he had a dream. Because, you know, he never didn't understand how do you connect with other parts of the body of Christ. He was trying to figure all that out. And he had a dream. And after this dream, he totally changed his outlook because he became a real kingdom person rather than just focusing on the Methodist Church or the Anglican mm-hmm. Church in those days. And it's just, I like it. He said, in his dream, he was transported to the gates of hell. And he asked, the angel, whoever transported him there, he asked, are there any Presbyterians here in hell? And the reply was yes. He said, any Roman Catholics? The reply was yes. And any Congregationalists? And the reply was yes, because those were the denominations of his day. Then he hesitated. He said, not any Methodists, I hope. But to his dismay, the answer was yes. And suddenly in his dream, he stood at the gates of heaven. And once again, he asked, are there any Presbyterians here? The reply was no. Any Roman Catholics? It was no. Any Congregationalists? It was no. Then he asked the question, which was most interesting to him. He said, are there any Methodists here? And he was shocked to receive the same stern reply, no. Well, then he asked in surprise, please tell me, who's in heaven? And the jubilant answer was Christians, believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus. And from that dream, Wesley determined that unity in the body of Christ, focusing on the kingdom more than just what mm-hmm. he was doing, was essential for the church that he was involved in success and the mission that God had given. You know, Jesus, you know, prayed this in John 17 because Jesus, obviously, he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. In John 17, he said that all of them he's praying to his heavenly Father, maybe one Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that they gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. You see, the heart of God is his kingdom. It seeks first the kingdom. You said mm-hmm. before, Lauren quoted in Matthew 6. And that's the heart. Are we focused on building his kingdom?
Yeah, and Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans 14. You can look this up in verse mm-hmm. 17. And he said, yeah. The kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Right. In other words, it's just what Jesus said. You know, I quoted earlier, Jesus said, don't look for the kingdom out there. Mm-hmm. It's not about this, it's not about that. It is about the kingdom is within you. And the kingdom is that he is king. Yep. And we are surrendered to him. And we are righteous. And this is the kingdom. Right. We need to keep it simple, don't we? You mm-hmm. know, I often sometimes with all the voices and all the opinions around us, you know, I just have to push that aside and say, no, I come down to that place that I love the Lord with all of my heart, all my soul, with all my, mm-hmm. I love my neighbor as myself. That come that place of simplicity and that the kingdom of God is righteous. I am righteous because of the blood. I am because of the cross. I am righteous. Christ is in me. His peace is within me. His joy is within me. Jesus said, I want you to be filled with joy. Mm-hmm. And so it's in that place. If we get a hold of just a revelation of the kingdom, we'll walk in that place. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is that I am walking in a place. The kingdom is within me, mm-hmm. and I'm walking in a place of righteous peace and joy, and I'm releasing that righteous peace and joy to mm-hmm. others, that king, that peace and joy mm-hmm. to others, and not allowing Satan to steal. mm-hmm. Many times you and I will talk over the years like, let's not allow Satan to steal our joy, you know, you know, or something. It could even be something hugely theological, you know. It's kind of like, no, wait. We're not going to allow Satan to steal our joy, mm-hmm. steal our peace over this situation, because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
We're not allow the enemy to steal the kingdom out of our lives, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this is a huge test, obviously, and you're right. I think all these 21 tests, and by the way, there's many more, but all these tests we've talked about in 21 weeks, basically it comes down to it's really wrapped up in, are we going to be kingdom people? And, of course, the answer in our hearts is a resounding yes, 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 and amen. So this comes to the end of the 21 tests of leadership. And I want you to know that, you know, we understand tests are hard. We've been there, done that. And there's many examples of people who've been through tests in the past, and they come through with flying colors. And you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, I love the Abraham Lincoln story. He was a man who overcame incredible setbacks and tests and disappointments in his life before he became our president, one of the best presidents we've ever had. His mother died when he was 9. He grew up poverty-stricken. Abe had less than 1 year of formal education. As a young man, he lost his job as a store clerk. He later became a partner in a business that failed and left him with a huge debt. You know, after courting a young lady for years and asking her hand for marriage, she rejected him. I mean, later he met a young woman who he had an interest in, but she died. I mean, this guy went through test after test after test after test. He was in his early 30s. He decided to run for state office, and he lost. He ran again, and he lost. Finally, after several years, he was elected, but when re-election time came 2 years later, he lost again. He's now 40 years of age. He's rejected for another political appointment, suffered a nervous breakdown. It blows me away. He also had a son who died during this time. In his mid-40s, he ran for Senate. He was defeated. A few years later, ran for Vice President of the United States. He lost. But finally, at age 51, he was elected President of the United States. And most would say one of the best presidents we ever had. And God obviously used him mightily in the process of ending slavery in our nation. And so he refused to quit. And, you know, that's the bottom line. And as we face all these different tests of leadership, refuse to quit. We trust Jesus. We can trust him. Mm-hmm. And we obviously fix our eyes on Jesus.
And to keep our eyes on Jesus that. I mean, the Hebrew writer says that in Hebrews 12. I love it. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, you know, how do we run this race? By keeping our eyes on Jesus.
Exactly.
We keep our eyes on Jesus who endured the cross. Yep, and we look to him and, you know, stay focused on who he is in the midst of it, you know. As we're persevering, which is a test, isn't it?
Yep.
And experiencing the kingdom of God in our lives.
Well, 21 tests of leadership is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I'm going to share two more things and we're going to close. And that is, there are many more than 21 tests. This is 21 that we've been looking at here. But, you know, Jonah got another chance, Peter got another chance, and God, if we fail, God gives us another chance. We can trust him. And Ecclesiastes 11:3 says, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain down upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Beware of too much introspection. That's a real key. Don't just always introspect. Many of these things happen to us are tests of leadership, but sometimes they're not, because it rains because the clouds are full of water. But many things that happen in our lives are tests to teach us how to live. However, everything that happens to us is not necessarily a test from God. Now, remember, all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, some things in life just happen, and we must be careful not to fall into the trap of trying to figure out every little detail. Sometimes the tree just falls. The Bible says that. And sometimes things just happen in our lives. And so refuse further introspection. Instead, stop by asking why. Stop asking why, rather. And there may not be an answer to that why question that we're asking. So, for these areas of our lives that are tests we need to pass, let's press in to know the Lord better. Let's trust him and discern the difference between the test of life and the trees that just happen to fall. Mm-hmm. Our prayer is that you will experience great grace from the Lord as you pass the test of life and test of leadership as he prepares you to be the leader he's called you to be.
Yeah, and that we truly, in all these tests, that we truly hear in the very core of our being, as Christ is, Ephesians writer said that Christ is at home in our hearts, and that we would truly hear in our hearts, you're my beloved child. Yeah. That's what he's saying. You're my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. And so we would hear that in the very core of our being. We'd be rooted and grounded in his love, and which carries us through all these different tests, which is great assurance. Great joy.
We are loved by him in the midst of all the tests. Yes. We need to know we're loved by the Heavenly Father.
True.
Well, that's been 21 Tests of Leadership, 21 podcasts. It's been a great joy to be with you this time. Check out the show notes, and you can pick up the book, Passing 21 Tests of Leadership, lots of other stuff on the show notes that will be helpful to you. But I wanted to just want to invite you to tune in on September 18 for Season 4 of the Larry Crowder Leadership Podcast. We have some exciting episodes coming up. Steve Prokopchak will be in the studio doing a two-part series on sexual wholeness, addressing and overcoming pornography. You'll be hearing from Steve Backlin from California, co-founder of Igniting Hope Ministries. Daniel Tanev from Bulgaria will be sharing about his new inspiring book on the 23rd Psalm and much, 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 much more. So we look forward to connecting with you in Season 4 coming up. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Again, check out the show notes. It's been a great joy to share with you these 21 tests of leadership. A great joy to have you with us today. May the Lord bless you, and may you find great grace as you pass the tests of leadership that the Lord allows you to walk through. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you in Season 4.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.